Vaughan asegura un ambiente de inmersión cuidado y de calidad. Campamentos de verano Vaughan. 91-133-5832. No lo dejes para el último momento. 91-133-5832.
Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
Esta es La Hora Extra con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome. Friday night. It's a Friday night, and it's the best time of the week for learning English, for improving your English. Can you imagine a better moment than 10 o'clock on a Friday night? I can't think of a better moment of the week to really seriously sit down and focus on the English language. Focus on the English language. So here we are together, just you and me, and we're together for a Friday night shindig. A what? A Friday night shindig. What's a shindig? Oh, my. It's a strange word. Aquí dice en Argentina un festichola. Guateque, holgorio. Holgorio mejor. Jaleo. Bueno, jaleo bueno. Anda, jaleo, jaleo. A shindig is getting together and dancing and having fun. Yeah, un holgorio, I would say. Yes, there's going to be a shindig to celebrate the end of summer. Va a haber un jaleo para celebrar el final del verano. All right. Un holgorio. Let's see. So this is a Friday night shindig in honor of the English language. I don't know. Patrocinado por, sponsored by the regular verbs. Yes. Los verbos regulares are sponsoring this first half hour of the extra hour. And so, thanks to the regular verbs in English, we are able to broadcast this first half hour of the extra hour. The regular verbs never get any attention. Everybody pays attention to the irregular verbs, phrasal verbs, auxiliary verbs, modal verbs, but everybody forgets the regular verbs. And so the regular verbs want to, they want to gain greater awareness and to establish their importance within the structure of the English language. What would the English language be without regular verbs? My God. Walk, talk, look, park. My God, there's so many. Play, stay. I mean, can you imagine the English language without the verb to talk or to walk? Or the, there's so many regular verbs. So, the marketing department of the regular verb group in the English language has decided to advertise and to make themselves known. And so here, I'm happy to say that this first half hour of Richard, of the extra hour, is hereby, por la presente, is hereby sponsored by the regular verbs. All right, but I'm not going to teach regular verbs, but this is a shindig. Yes, a Friday night shindig, a Friday night party. I mean, what synonyms for shindig? Party, dance, a bash, yes, or a mash, like the monster mash. He did the mash. It was a monster mash. Mash is a type of dance. M-A-S-H, mash. Come on, mashed potatoes, mash. But it's an old word from the 1960s, 1950s, 1960s. Yeah. The Monster Mash. Let's see the lyrics. The Monster Mash. The Monster Mash. I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the mash. He did the monster mash. It was the mash. It was a graveyard smash. He did the mash. It caught on like a flash. He did the mash. He did the monster mash from my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abodes to get a jolt of my electrodes. He did the mash. He did the monster mash. The monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. Wow. It goes on. It's a crazy song. These are crazy. Only in America, only in the United States, or sometimes in Great Britain, they come up with these absolutely ridiculous songs. on the European continent, people are too serious to do this type of thing. They're too serious or they're too risk averse, really. Because to make a song like this, you have to be risk averse. You say, let's have fun. Let's do something absolutely absurd. Out of his coffin, Drac's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. He opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist? So these are monsters. This is a long song, by the way. The Monster Mash. And the name of the group is Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers. All right. De la Crypta. I don't know. This song was written by Leonard Rosenman, but it doesn't say when. The Monster Mash. He did the mash. He did the monster mash. The monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. Means el no va más del cementerio. So it goes on. But I'm starting out a little bit silly this evening. I mean, it's a Friday night. Come on. I don't have to be serious every single day. Come on. But in any case, we're here to work on our English. And this half hour is brought to you by the regular verbs. Sponsored. They are our sponsors for this first half hour, and they're financing the 30 minutes of this program, the first half. So let's get serious. Have you ever been attracted, Richard? Oh, yeah? You have a question? Yes. Have you ever been attracted to radical political movements? No, I haven't. I've never been attracted to radical political movements. But to tell you the truth, I've never been attracted either to mainstream political movements. To what? To mainstream political movements. Mainstream? What is that? Is that Main Street? La Calle Mayor? No, Main Street? No, mainstream. What does mainstream mean? Mainstream means corriente principal, convencional, establecido. Mainstream, la corriente. Stream is una corriente de agua. También un corriente de aire. El corriente del chorro is the jet stream. Yes, stream. But normally it's water. It's a stream. It's un riachuelo de montaña. The water runs fast. It's a stream. And the mainstream means la corriente principal, sí, que lleva la mayor parte del agua, el caudal. That's the mainstream. But we use it for cultura dominante, corriente principal, the mainstream. The mainstream media in the United States, it's very common. In fact, it's so common, the expression mainstream media, that when you're reading an article, they don't say mainstream media, they say MSM. MSM, MSM. And if you don't know what it means, you have to look it up. MSM. And it says mainstream media. So, meaning of MSM. All right. Mainstream media. All right. And in the United States, mainstream media is the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, the CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC. And the non-mainstream media is basically Fox. Fox News. That's the only television station, or the only, that doesn't support Joe Biden and that's not anti-Trump. All the rest are anti-Trump. The mainstream media. All right. But in any case, mainstream political parties would be in Spain, for example, are the Socialist Party and the Popular Party. Those are the mainstream political parties. More radical, but not really, I don't consider them radical. Unidos Podemos and on the other side, Vox, they're just a little bit more to the left of the socialist and a little bit more to the right of the Popular Party. But nevertheless, I don't consider them extremists, either one. I mean, the Unidos Podemos sounds like the typical communist, European, Euro-communism party that plays by the rules. They play by the rules. Or at least it seems they play by the rules, which is their power is basically how many votes they can get in the elections. Of course, they try to influence in other ways, but so do other parties. But basically, if they don't win votes, they don't have so. And that's not the case of communist parties in other parts of the world outside of Europe, in the China and the Soviet Union. It was just by taking over the government in Vietnam, in Cambodia, at certain points, in other areas. They just took over. So I'm not attracted. I've never been attracted to radical political movements. And to be honest, I've never been attracted to mainstream political movements either. So I just look after myself and my family. I'll give opinions, but I won't get angry or upset about it. And I have my opinions. Some of them are very strong, but I don't usually share them with anybody. So I've never been attracted to radical political movements, okay? Richard, is tourism an important source of revenue in some countries? In many countries, tourism is a very important source of revenue. Probably Spain is the country that, I don't know. What country is the most dependent on tourism? Probably the British Virgin Islands, for example, in the Caribbean, Barbados, Nassau, of course, Jamaica is very dependent on tourism. Cuba now is very dependent on tourism. Spain is quite dependent on tourism, but Spain is a strong country. Spain has many other strengths. What's Spain's greatest strength? It could be the sunlight, and the coast, which means tourism, of course. But Spain has a very good agricultural sector, the farm sector. Spain produces a lot of the vegetables and fruit that is eaten and that is consumed throughout Europe. Almeria, Murcia are very, very important for Spain. Valencia. And of course, the wines of La Rioja, Ribera, and other places in Spain. And olive oil, olives. I mean, Spain is the number one producer of olive oil in the world by far. 40% of the world's production of olives is Spanish. So agriculture is extremely important for Spain. More important than tourism, I don't know, but very, very likely. And then industry, Spain has a lot of very important industry. Now, the car industry is number 6 in the world or something like that, even though the car industry is owned by foreign companies, Volkswagen and Renault, PSA, Citroën, and these companies, Ford, well, Ford, ya no está, Opel. Well, Opel now belongs to Peugeot, Citroën, and PSA. But nevertheless, Spain is a very, very important producer of cars. And then the ceramic industry in Castellón is extremely important, because it's very valuable for Spain, and there are a lot of other, many, many more. I would need 2 hours to cover all of the points, strong points in Spain in economic. So tourism, yes, is extremely important for Spain. It brings foreign currency. Foreign currency. It brings money from the outside, because when a tourist, foreign currency is divisa extranjera, but that's not the case now, because when the Germans and the French and the Belgians and the Swedish and Danish and the, how do you say, the Dutch come to Spain, they don't bring foreign currency, they bring euros. However, those euros were produced and generated in those countries, not in Spain. So it's mana del cielo. It's this money that comes that didn't require a productive base in Spain, except the infrastructure that Spanish entrepreneurs have created to accommodate this tourism. But the money comes from the outside and stays in Spain. So Spain doesn't have to generate this money from scratch. The money comes from the outside. The money is generated in Germany or Belgium or the Netherlands. And then part of it comes here as tourism and stays here. But Spain has to have an infrastructure to accommodate that tourism and to keep it happy. But still, it's very interesting. I think most people in Spain aren't aware of the strengths of this country. I think even some of our politicians are not totally aware of the strengths in this country. There's some very important small and medium-sized companies doing incredible jobs. Jobs sometimes for quality control of tomatoes. Un ojo electrónico que separa el buen tomate del malo. I mean, a Spanish company, maybe from Cuenca or maybe from Teruel, and you'd be surprised. Wow. And they do, and they're exporting as well, some of these companies. You find somebody from Cuenca. No, I'm just back from a trip to Hungary, Hungria, or from Poland. I'm selling some of my quality control equipment for tomatoes or for peppers, pimientos, and things. And so there's a lot of very interesting businesses in Spain. And if the politicians were a little bit more, a little bit wiser, más sabios, they would allow the entrepreneurial spirit in Spain to blossom. Where you allow entrepreneurs to do what they want, they only know how to do one thing, generate wealth for themselves and for the country. That's the only thing they know how to do. I mean, an entrepreneur, un emprendedor en potencia o un emprendedor real, they don't know how to do anything except make money. They don't know how to do anything except make money. Some of them fail. Many of them fail. But quite a few of them don't. And they generate money because they don't know how to do anything else. It's like flowers. It's like grass, trees. They grow. And entrepreneurs grow. But if you don't let them, if you make If you too many taxes, it takes too long to incorporate your company. Te dan un CIF 9 meses más tarde. No puedes ni facturar sin CIF, cédula de identificación fiscal. It's absolutely a mess. I mean, if Spain wants to get rich, there's only one way. Well, there are two ways for Spain to get rich. One way is to invade France and conquer France. Okay, and then to extract the wealth from France or Morocco or Italy. That's one way to get rich. That's the old way. That's how they did it before. Now that's not viable. No es viable. De momento, it's not viable. So the only way is to just to generate the wealth. Generar la riqueza. Autogenerar, to self-generate the wealth. And there's only one figure, una sola figura, the entrepreneur. He or she is the only source of wealth generation. The entrepreneur who builds a hotel in Mallorca for the British, the crazy young Brits who come to Magaluf. And, for example, or who builds a hotel in Alicante or in Burgos. It doesn't matter. And people come from other parts of Spain and from outside of Spain. Or the man, or like the entrepreneur in Cuenca or Teruel who develops an engineer who makes a special machine for separating the good tomatoes from the bad. These are the people that generate the only generation of wealth in a country. If you want Spain to become a rich, rich country, make life easy for entrepreneurs. Don't put, how do you say, palos en sus ruedas, which the government does, for labor questions and excessive taxation and especially too much regulation and too much bureaucratic sclerosis. Esclerosis burocrático. So, son no sé cuántos meses para un thief. I know one company that needed 9 months. It took them 9 months to get the thief. And in the meantime, they couldn't invoice and they had to do chanchullos. They had to do all kinds of strange things just to be able to make money and to hire people and to have salaries and to start generating good things, money for everybody, incluido el fisco, including the tax man. In any case, all right. So is tourism an important source of revenue in some countries? It's a very important source of revenue. Revenue son ingresos, income, revenue. It's a very important source of revenue in many, many countries, including Spain, France. The three countries that receive the most tourists per year are France, the United States, and Spain. Creo que en ese orden. I think in that order. With the pandemic, of course, it's different. But pre-pandemic, France is number one, the United States is number two, and Spain is number three. But I believe that in terms of relative impact, I believe Spain is more important. Tourism is more important for Spain than for France or the United States because Spain is a smaller country in population. There are 47 million people in Spain, and in France there are about 67 million. And, of course, in the U.S. it's 330 million. It's a monster. So tourism is relatively less important. But still, it's very important. Still, significa aún así. Pero aún así es importante, but still. But I don't know what area. I think maybe agriculture could be the service industry as well. The service industry in Spain is very important. Yes, hotelería, all of these things. Well, the service industry includes tourism. I mean, you talk about the service industry. I mean, it's the tertiary economy. The primary sector, the secondary sector, and the tertiary sector. The tertiary sector in Spain is the most important. And the secondary sector is also very important. That's transformation, manufacturing. And the primary sector is important as well. Mining, agriculture, livestock. Livestock is ganadería. This is very important. That's the primary sector. Mining, la minería, agricultura y ganadería. Y construcción, ladrillo. The construction industry is part of the primary sector as well. Secondary is transformation, manufactura. Chemical plants making chemical products, manufacturing plants making cars, tractors, equipment of all kinds. That's the secondary sector. And the tertiary sector is me, English classes, or a hotel offering accommodations and things. So we're coming up to the end of this first half hour, brought to you by the Regular Verb Club. And so they hope you have enjoyed this half hour. I'll be right back.
Más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
Remember to follow us on social media to get all the latest information on all our offers and special deals.
¿Tienes niños? Pues, ¿qué mejor forma que aprendan inglés que haciendo lo que más les gusta? En nuestros campamentos de verano en inglés se divertirán participando en un sinfín de variadísimas actividades en un entorno seguro y 100% angloparlante, acompañados en todo momento de monitores Vaughan. Campamentos de verano para niños. No abandones tu inglés.
Las plazas vuelan, así que llama ya al 91-133-5832. 91-133-5832. Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Contact us now for a free level test and get started on your trimestrales right away. Your English adventure awaits. Trimestrales de Vaughan.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo. Horario de mañana o tarde. Prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades. Ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio. Haz una pausa y disfruta mejorando, aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833. Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 91-133-5831 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
If you haven't made any decision yet about your children or young adolescents concerning summer camps, July and August and early September, we offer summer camps in different places around Spain. We also offer camps in Canada and other parts of the world. And so look into it now, because the sooner you sign up, the better. The sooner you sign up, because a time always comes in the early spring or the mid-spring in which we're full. Sometimes we're booked up, and some parents get upset, and it's usually because they didn't call in time. They waited too late. They waited too long. So for the summer camps for children or for young adolescents, think about it. Try to make your decision now and to act on it, or to least to call us in Melbourne for information about this. Thank you.
Más información en el 911-133-5832 o en grupobaugan.com.
Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
Extra con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome back. All right, 10:30 on a Friday the 16th. Good day. Tomorrow's Saturday, by the way. And I'm not planning to do anything productive tomorrow. I'm going to do some exercise. And I'm going to, you have to define the word productive, or the concept of productivity. Resting and doing nothing can be very productive because you are recharging your batteries. Recargar las pilas. La batería. You're recharging your batteries. Se dice en plural en inglés. Las pilas. And so, so it's productive as well. Everything I do is productive, I suppose. Not always. I can waste time. But wasting time is productive too, because in order for your time to be productive, you need to waste time as well. Yeah, because you say, my God, I'm wasting too much time. I need to get back to work. And then I get back to work and do something productive. All right. Something constructive. But nevertheless, this last half hour, and then I'm free for the weekend. Yes, sir. It's a good night. Yeah. Don't you remember? This is the Friday night shindig, the Friday night party, the Friday night holgorio. Just you and me together for an English class. Why not? For an English class. Well, have you prepared some interesting questions for me? I'm waiting. Okay, Richard, does the future of our planet... Well, that's an interesting question. Have you... Finish it. Does the future of our planet... Bueno, vale, el verbo auxiliar, ¿dónde está el verbo? Does the future of our planet... Ya tengo verbo auxiliar... And a subject clause. I have the auxiliary verb and a subject clause. The future of our planet. That's the subject. The future of our planet. The future, that's five words, constitute the subject. We call that a subject clause. Clausula. Clause. Does the future of our planet depend on what? On? Depend on. Depend on. Don. Donald Duck, Don, depend on. Does the future of our planet depend on? Fíjate cómo uso la D de depend on. Depend on what? Finish this question. Well, I'm dissecting the phonetics of the question. Yes, but the listeners are not interested in the phonetics of the question. They're interested in the question. Oh. Does the future of our planet depend on the stability of the sun? Oh, well, yes. I mean, the future of our planet depends on a lot of things. But also one of those many, many things that the future of our planet depends on is the stability of the sun. If the sun becomes unstable, well, goodbye. Goodbye. It's been fun. Que me quiten lo bailo, como dije antes. It's been fun. It's been fun. Ha sido divertido. It's been fun. If the stability of the sun changes, if the sun becomes unstable, we will have a lot of problems. But the future of our planet doesn't depend solely on the stability of the sun. Solely. ¿Qué es eso? Solely? Soul is alma. Yes, soul is alma. If you spell it S-O-U-L, soul, escrito, soul, soul, yeah. But, wow, it's a different spelling. Yes, soul is S-O-L-E, sole. Oh, sole mio, soul. Ah, eso es lenguado, el pescado. Correct, yes. Soul is also lenguado, correct, you're right. Ah, it's a different meaning. Ah, soul, that's la suela de mis zapatos. Yes, correct. Okay, fine. Yes, that's true as well. So soul, spelled S-O-U-L, is alma. Soul, spelled S-O-L-E, can mean lenguado. And it can mean la suela de los zapatos, the soles of the shoes. But soul also means solo, único. My soul, the soul possibility, única posibilidad. And solely means solamente. Soleli, escrito. Soleli, pronunciado solely. Solely. Sí. Pausa un poco en la L. Solely. Como si fuera una L doble, pero no lo es. Solely. Solely. And it's a very good word in English. In this case, I said the future of our planet doesn't depend, no depende únicamente de la estabilidad del sol. Depende de muchos otros posibles desenlaces que pudieran perjudicar el planeta. All right. So the future of our planet doesn't depend only on the stability of the sun. The future of our planet depends on a lot of things. Climate change or wars or pestilence. Pestilence is enfermedades, like the current pandemic. I mean, there are a lot of things. Life is terribly precarious. We all need to be anxiously worried about the future. Yes, you're not worrying enough. You have to worry more about the future. Don't you? I don't. But that's my problem. I don't worry about the future. The future comes. I worry about the present. Well, I don't worry. I pay attention to the present. Right now. What I'm doing right now. What I'm going to do after this class, I have no idea. I have no idea what I'm going to do this weekend. I don't make plans. So, but whatever it is, it'll be interesting. Okay, it doesn't matter what I do. I'll enjoy it. Because I always do what I enjoy. Very rare. The only thing I don't enjoy is eating green peppers and going to weddings. So don't invite me. If you're getting married, please do me a favor and don't invite me. Okay. Because usually you have to spend time at a table having a dinner or something with people you don't know. And they look at it and say, usted es el bauguense. Yeah, fine. And they ask questions about their English. Bueno, mi inglés es... Oh, Dios mío. I've come to a wedding. I didn't come to talk about the English learning. But it's okay. I'll smile and be personable and talk to the people about their English. But I would rather be somewhere else. I would rather be somewhere else. Maybe out in the country looking up at the stars. Why not? So yes, the future of our planet depends on the stability of the sun, among many other things. Okay. Do you have any other questions? Yes. Is the cattle industry important in Argentina? Wow. Yes, it is. The cattle industry is extremely important in Argentina. It could be the number one source of revenue for the country. I really don't know. If we could ask, what's the most important source of revenue for Argentina? Don't cry for me, Argentina. Let's see. Manufacturing, la manufactura, o sea, la fabricación, is the largest single sector in Argentina's economy. 15% of GDP. gross domestic product. All right. And is well integrated into Argentine agriculture, with half the nation's industrial exports being agricultural. So half of the exports from Argentina, coming out of Argentina, are agricultural. All right, the economy. What's the most important source of revenue for Spain? Let's see if they say here, Spain. Tourism sector is pivotal. Pivotal, pivota, o sea, la economía pivota sobre el sector turístico, de turismo. The tourism sector is pivotal for the country's economy, being Spain's main source of income or revenue. 12.4% of GDP in 2019. The country is the second most popular tourist destination in the world. After France, I suppose. Yes, 83.7 million tourists in 2019. Wow. All right. What's the main source of income? Tourism. Spain's economy ranks 57th in the world in terms of economic freedom. That's interesting. It ranks 57th, número 57 del mundo, in libertad económica. That means too much bureaucracy, too much regulation, too many laws. You know, the problem is you have an expression in Spanish, pagar justos por pecadores. Pagan justos por pecadores. Let's see, pagar justos por pecadores. In English, I don't know how we say that. I'm sure we have an expression. Pay righteous for the sinners. Los buenos por los pecadores. Okay. How to say that in English? They're made to pay for the sins of others. People should not be made to pay for the sins of others. Eso sí, señor comisario, no tienen que pagar justos por pecadores. Of course, commissioner, people should not be made to pay for the sins of others. The problem is, in business, in los negocios, actividad empresarial, etc., 5% are pecadores. And because of that, or even less, the legislation grows and expands exponentially to try to control that 5%. But the people who suffer is the other 95%. And the 5% don't suffer. They just find a new way to avoid it. So in the end, all of this regulation simply makes life difficult and complicated and a pain in the neck for people who are trying to make money, which makes money for the country. I mean, the more money I make, the more money Spain makes. Because I'm not going to take the money out of Spain. I'm not going to take it to Switzerland or to the Cayman Islands in the Caribbean. That's less than 1% of the people in this country do that. The other 99% don't. But the other 99% have to pasar por el lado, as you say, have to go through the jump through hoops of justifying money simply because 1% takes it away to Switzerland or whatever. And so that pagan justos por pecadores is very, very true in this country. Really, really true. But not only here, in every country, in different degrees. Legislation. The laws are made to control the bad guys. The bad guys son los malos de la película. The laws are made to control the bad guys. But the bad guys are less than 5% of the people. And so the good guys, who will probably never break the law anyway, they have to toe the line as well. And it's a pain in the neck. They have to do what? To toe the line. Oh, what does that mean? To toe the line? Seguir a pies juntillas, sí. To toe the line. Conformarse. O sea, poner los dedos del pie justo donde está la línea. Y ahí tiene que estar. acatando la disciplina. That's a toe the line. Toe, como dedo del pie. Toe, escrito, toe the line. And so it's true. The expression pagar justos por pecadores is extremely true. 110% true in this country and in others as well. All right, let's go. Today I'm complaining a lot, eh? Is the cattle industry important in Argentina? Yes, it is. The cattle industry is el sector del ganado vacuno, o bovino. Ganado bovino, ganado vacuno, or mean the same thing. The cattle industry. I remember one person wrote me an email about 7 years ago, said, no, ganado bovino son las ovejas. And I had to write back, perdón, es ganado ovino, sin B. That person, if you're going to write me and correct me, make sure you're right. I remember two cases. The case of ganado bovino. But it was a nice guy. He said, perdón, Richard Perusky, has dicho vacuno y bovino son lo mismo. No, bovino son sheep. How do you say sheep? Ovejas. And I said, no, eso es ovino. And so he apologized. Tienes razón. I apologize. But another man from Aragon, I said that sos del rey católico, which is next to the border with Navarra. Es en el reino de Aragón. Sos. Ahí nació el Fernando de Aragón. That's why it's called. Well, you see, Ferdinand of Aragon's mother was in Navarre. I think in Olite. And she didn't want her son. She was pregnant, and she was expecting, and she was knew it was the time to have the baby, but she didn't want her son or daughter to be born in Navarre, because at that time Navarre was a different country. Although her husband, the king, was also the king of Navarre, and so she traveled to the nearest village, crossing the border into Aragon, and that was Sos. A little town. And there, a tiny village, really. And there, Ferdinand of Aragon was born. And so later, the official name of that town is Sos del Rey Católico. Now, it's located in the province of Zaragoza. It's in Zaragoza. And I said, you know, some people might think it's in Huesca because it's very close to the Pyrenees. And I received an email from a man saying, usted ha dicho que Sos está en Zaragoza. Promising, no. Desde luego que no. Está en Huesca. And I thought, mi memoria me falla? And so I checked, no, it's in Zaragoza. And I wrote him back, says, thank you for your clarification, although I do believe that Sos is in Zaragoza. He never wrote me back. But he said, desde luego que no. And this type of gallito I don't like. This type of person who is cocky. Cocky is gallito. He gets cocky or gets arrogant. He said, desde luego que no. And he was 100% wrong. But that happens. So if you're going to correct somebody, make sure you're right. And don't do it unless you check first. And because that's a question of lack of humility. And well, if you correct somebody, you need to make sure you're right. And that man was not right, nor the other one with the ganado bovino. The cattle industry, cattle, C-A-T-T-L-E, cattle is ganado, vacuno, bovino, etc. Las vacas, yes, cattle. A cattle drive, cattle industry, la industria ganadera centrada en el vacuno. All right, it's a cattle industry. And so it's very, very important in Argentina, of course. Argentina is famous for its beef cattle. And for its special cuts, vacío, entraña, bife de chorizo, asado de tira, matambre tiernizado. These are all Argentine. They're very good. They're delicious. But it's interesting that the Argentines are Argentines. I think they die. The longevity is maybe 3 years less than in Spain. If the life expectancy in Spain is 82, in Argentina is 79, for example. And the most one of the most common reasons for death is circulatory problems, arteriosclerosis and things, which is because of eating too much red meat. Pero se lo pasan bien, que les quiten lo malo. All right, I'll die 3 years younger, but I'll enjoy life all the way with chuletadas and things. All right, more questions. Richard, do you take off your watch the moment you get home? Yes, I do. Instantly. That's the first thing I do. The very first thing I do when I walk into my house is to take off my watch. I have a place where I keep it and I take it off. I don't like wearing watches. I have a nice watch. I only have one watch. If it breaks, I'll have to buy a new watch. Because I don't have a replacement. I don't have a spare watch. Spare. No tengo reloj de repuesto. Spare escrito. I don't have a spare watch. So, watches, I don't... I'm a Texan. People in Texas, we like freedom and open space. Don't fence me in. No me encierres con vallas o tapias and things. Don't fence me in. Lyrics. Don't fence me in. Fence is una valla, una cerca, un cerco. Una tapia, fence. Give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in. Yes. Deja que esté solo en el aire de la tarde noche y escuchar el murmullo de los álamos, the cottonwood trees. I think cottonwood is un álamo, un chopo. It's along the, let's see, cottonwood. Cottonwood como madera, algodón. Cottonwood tree. Cottonwood tree. Álamo de Norteamérica is un álamo. Cottonwood. Because if you look it up, cottonwood tree, and you look it up in Google Images, it looks different from the álamos españoles that you see along the riverbanks. A riverbank is la orilla del río. You see álamo. Álamo, árbol. Hay que poner árbol si no te pone el álamo de San Antonio, Texas. And you see they're different. They're tall. And they have a very nice noise when the wind is blowing through the poplar trees. We call el álamo europeo poplar, poplar. Poplar tree. Poplar. P-O-P. P-O-P. L-A-R, poplar tree. And that's what you have, those álamos. Sometimes along the highways, you have them as well on either side of a road, a secondary road. Very nice. I like. So this man says, let me listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever. Means mándame al cielo si quieres. Pero te pido, por favor, no me cerques, no me encierres dentro de una valla. Don't fence me in. Give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride. Se montando un caballo aquí. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in, etc. So, because I'm from Texas, we grow up this way. And so, to wear a watch is, I take it off immediately. The moment I get home, and I take everything off. I stripped down and then put on very, very comfortable clothes. Very comfortable stuff. And that's how I move about in my house. I remember one girl visited my house one time and she said, "You're wearing jeans. I've never seen you." And she'd known me for 15 years. "I've never seen you in jeans. Nunca te he visto en vaqueros." All right. So, do you take off your watch the moment you get home? Yes, I do. Did you have trouble falling asleep last night? No, I didn't. Last night, no, I didn't have any trouble. I don't usually have trouble falling asleep at night. Maybe once a month. And it's my fault usually because I watched a suspense movie or something on TV and it, yeah. And it woke me up. I wasn't sleepy because the movie was suspenseful with a lot of action or a lot of good suspense. And then I wasn't ready to go to sleep. My fault, mea culpa. But I have to go now. Today's Friday evening. Hey, have a good weekend. Eh? If you go anyplace, drive with care. Drive carefully. Look out for yourself, okay? And study some English, maybe. Take care. Bye-bye.
¿Alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos? Llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
Okay, now, tell me you want to do 10 more push-ups.
I want to do 10 more push-ups.
Very good. Ask me if I'll tell you to do 10 more.
Will you tell me to do 10 more?
No, I'm going to tell you to do 20 more.